praise is always on my lips. The word is living in my heart, and I will praise you with a new song. My soul will bless you, Lord. You fill my life with greater joy, yes, I delight myself in you, and I will praise you with a new song.
Seated. There's many, many good things happening, and we're believing God for them to happen in all of our lives, right? I'm sure you've got good testimonies, what God's doing. I'll tell you, I'll tell you a story. Back years ago, Pastor Debbie and I came through Rhema Bible Training Center back in 85, graduated in 87, and went through 2 years there. And then she actually moved up here to help be a youth minister, Antioch Family Worship Center over, some of you know that church over, where is that now? Is it still there in, off Antioch Road. But anyway, we got to Dayton and then eventually got engaged. She moved back down. But we got to help in Prayer and Healing Center at Kenneth Hagin Ministries. We were there for, 6 years maybe, involved there. And I'll never forget one service. I came out of one service and was getting ready to go right into another service, and some of the people hadn't come into that second service yet. And I'm just walking the back of the room because the service I just came out of was really hot. You know what I mean? On fire with the Holy Ghost. And I'm just praising God. And I said, Lord, I said, I want to live the most exciting life I can live. And he spoke to me. I don't know if you'd have been in the room, I don't know if you would have heard it or not. But to me, it sounded almost audible. He spoke to me. Now, I don't go seeking audible voices, but he spoke to me. It just rang through every part of my being. He said, that's the life of faith, my son.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
I went, yeah. That's the life of faith, my son. It's exciting to take your kids over to the edge of the Red Sea and show them a pile of rocks and say, they came out of the bottom of the Red Sea. Well, how'd you get them out of the bottom? Well, let me tell you a story. Right? That's exciting. It's exciting to tell your grandkids you slept one night in the lion's den and just kept stroking the lion the whole night and it didn't eat you. That's pretty exciting. But see, that took faith.
It does. Amen.
So tell your neighbor, you're going to live the most exciting life you can live. That's the life of faith. Praise God. Are you ready to get in the Word this morning? If you brought your Bible, go with me. We'll start, my goodness, where should we start? We'll start in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. I've had something stirring in my heart, and this has been stirring for about a month. And it just keeps sticking there. It just keeps building in me. I've been feeding on it, meditating on it. And so we're going to get into this. It's something that I believe that is a message for this day we're living in the body of Christ, really. But 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 30. Now, the context here is God sending a man to the high priest here, Eli, about some things that he had allowed in the ministry that God had given him. And it had to do with his sons not really being honorable and so forth and so on. And so this story is kind of sobering, but yet right on the other hand, it brings us some light here at the end of it, that God basically said, well, I had chosen you, Eli, I had chosen you, but I'm... because you have been dishonorable towards my call on your life and have not dealt with things the way they should be dealt with and corrected some things that need to be corrected, he said something here in verse 30 that this has changed my life. It says, and this is, we'll just read it in the King James. He said, the first part of the verse really addresses the specifics of that particular situation. The Lord said, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The first part there, he's basically, somebody say, well, God changed his mind. Well, actually, if you study the way the Bible refers to this in other places, in other situations, God didn't change his mind. The person he planned on using disqualified themselves.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And so this is a situation where God reveals why this particular man disqualified himself from being used of God any further and you could say trade it out for somebody else. I don't want to be traded out for somebody else, do you? But he said here, the reason here is because them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Meaning despising means the opposite of honor. Honor means basically to value or to honor means to value or to show great regard for something. It means whatever God gave you, whatever he said to you, however he chose to use you or the people he brought to bless you, what he said to you in his word, so forth and so on, what the Spirit of God's dealing with you about, anything in God is to honor. It means that it's a very weighty thing with you. It's very important to you.
Yes.
It's esteemed and valued higher than other things or other considerations.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Bible talks about honor over and over and over again. And as one of the struggles I had last night in finally settling in on what the Lord wanted me to talk about, one of the struggles I had was, Lord, this is so huge. It's almost like I can't even do it justice in just one service. I mean, do I even get started into this? Because it's such a huge subject. Now, this might sound like an exaggeration. You know, preachers sometimes they speak evangelistically. But this is not an exaggeration. This is reality. I could show you the notes to prove it. But I could preach on this every service from now until the end of the year and not exhaust it. It's huge in the Bible. It's so huge that I have come to see it as importantly as the message of faith itself.
Amen.
Huge subject. So, but we're going to broach the subject. We're going to get into it. And because the Lord has been dealing with me, like I said, for about a month about this. And at first blush, you might look at this or hear what I'm beginning to say here and say, I don't really know why this is a big deal. I don't know why this is important. But as we go, you'll see more and more, I think, how huge this is. You might not in your mind understand that, but we'll see it as we go. But so this is really, this is a very, this is mentioned over and over in one way or another in the Bible. And reverence for God, reverence or honor for God, valuing what God says, valuing the move of His Spirit, valuing His people, honoring them, honoring those God sets in our life, so forth and so on. Anywhere you find God, He's to be honored. Whether it's His word, whether it's in somebody that has God in them, that's such a blessing to you, or whatever, wherever you find God, He's to be honored. And so this society we live in, to be honest with you, is pretty much void of anything that has to do with honor for God. We're living in a cesspool. Come on, somebody. Of dishonor all around us. And we as the body of Christ can't look at that level of honor or dishonor, which is no honor, or some low degree of honor in the culture around us and change God's, or so to speak, try to change the standard of what God says is due unto Him. Our standard is not the people around us. Our standard is God's word. At what level is He to be regarded? How important is it what He says? Come on, somebody. Those around us in our culture don't have value for things like the local church, gathering together with other believers, sitting under the word of God. Right? It's a disregard for the word of God. It's a disregard for God Himself. Amen? It's not something we're here to beat anybody up about. It's something here, we're here to look at this and all of us just examine ourselves and come up in our level of honor for the things of God. Because as we see, we'll see that there is great benefit attached to learning to do this. Honor is a heart issue. It's one of those things that you, it is expressed. It's a little like faith in the sense that it is something that is to be expressed outwardly to show to others that God uses or towards God in different ways outwardly. But yet, you know, without having it in your heart, it's just a bribe. You know what I'm talking about. It's not really true honor. Honor is of the heart. Faith is the same way. You can mouth faith words with your mouth, but unless you carry it in your heart and you believe what you're saying, it won't do any good. Amen? And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at this whole subject, spend some time talking about it, because, like I said, it's a huge issue. Actually, there are things that, in fact, if you want to just a reference on this, I'll give you the reference, and I think you'll remember it, Matthew 21:12-14. This is when Jesus went into the temple, and we're familiar with when He made that whip, and He drove out the money changers, you remember? People have the idea that has to do with anything, you know, receiving offerings or anything. No, it had to do with them cheating the people is what it was. They were charging exorbitant prices for things that they could get somewhere else for a lot less. But there's a whole lot more to that. There were offerings received in the temple as well. He didn't drive them out. But just these money changers who were cheating the people. But anyway, he said He drove them out. We're familiar with this. And he took that whip and did that. And then He says, written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Now look at this. Look at this. This is a verse that I missed for a long time that was right after this, Matthew 21:12-14. Right after verse 12 and 13, verse 14 says, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. Do you see that? I missed that for a long time. In other words, there were some things that were happening there's some things that had gotten into the house of God. Now, you realize today we're individually the temple of God. But yet corporately still, there's a truth in the Bible. We come together corporately. We perform a spiritual house. But there were some things that had gotten into the worship of God in the temple at this time that grieved the Spirit of God. And they had to be removed before signs, wonders, and miracles took place. Soon as it got removed, there was healing took place in the temple.
Come on, somebody.
And that is something we have to recognize in the body of Christ at large today, is that there are things sometimes that are grievous to the Holy Ghost. And how many of you know the Holy Ghost doesn't move where he's not welcomed? He moves where he is received and welcomed. He's a perfect gentleman. God's a perfect gentleman. He'll not move where he's not accepted, not people aren't interested in him moving, and not welcomed. Can you say amen? And so there's a flow of heaven that God wants in our church, in all churches. It's a flow of the miraculous. It's a flow of changed lives where God's meeting people's needs. Come on, that's God's idea of church. Where it's not just your traditional check the box, went to church on Sunday morning, didn't get anything out of it except a sore bottom. You know what I'm talking about? But where people's lives are being changed. There's power flowing. There's answers coming. My week is different because I went to church. That kind of move of the Spirit is God's will in church. Can you say amen? And really, that's days of heaven on earth. Heaven is the flow of honor is what opens the door for that. What is the Holy Ghost wanting to do? Well, I had this plan. That doesn't matter what you had planned. What does the Holy Ghost want to do? What is he saying? You know, I got notebooks upon notebooks upon notebooks and electronic files on preaching notes that I could preach 24 hours a day till the day I die. I wouldn't go to be 87 till the day I die and wouldn't be able to get through them all. Which ones do I preach? It's which ones does the Holy Ghost want to talk about? And that's where he is regarded like that, and where he is honored, that's where God gets his way, and the Spirit of God is able to move.
Glory be to God.
Praise God. And that's one of the visions of Spirit of Faith Family Church. Word and Spirit. Word and Spirit. In other words, the Word is first, always first. The Word is what builds our faith. We come and we receive the Word, but not just the Word, but the Word and the move of the Spirit according to and in line with the Word. Amen. But this flow of reverence and honor helps get us into that. We can see this from this passage of Scripture. And so since it's the flow of heaven, then reverence and honor opens the door to the flow of heaven. Then reverence and honor on earth would bring heaven to earth. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And so the flow of honor on earth is what keeps that flow of God on earth safe. And so we need to look at this. Amen. What this is, what we're talking about when we talk about honor for God, we're talking about our approach to God.
Amen.
Amen. When I say our approach to God, I'm talking about how we address him. How many of you realize, as you raise your children, how they address you becomes important?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You're not good buddy, good pal.
Come on.
No, not one.
That's not, if you heard your child say, over there's my old man, or over there's my old lady. How many of you know you probably have some things to say to your child?
Yeah.
And if you don't, let me give you some pastoral advice. That's the beginning of some things that will get worse and worse.
Yes.
That's dishonor.
Yes.
And the Bible says to honor your mother and your father.
Yes, sir.
And so honor is addressing, when you address your child about how they address you, you're addressing their approach towards you. You're addressing them seeing you properly and regarding your role in their life properly.
Yes.
Well, honor for God is addressing our regard for God in our hearts and our approach to him and how important what he says to us is, how important what he did for us is, how important his people are.
Come on,
somebody. It's addressing our approach. And our approach to God does matter. Some people are too casual about God.
Come on.
Someone said, he's my father. Absolutely. And you don't fear him. You don't draw back from him. He's loving. He's a father. He cares for you. And you can have free access to come to him. But don't come in like high five and good buddy, good pal.
Come on. Not one bit.
He's not your good buddy, your good pal. He is the creator of the universe.
Yes.
He's the one that gives you your next breath.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Your next heartbeat.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's the one that sent Jesus, his son, to die for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Not good buddy, good pal. It's Lord. Savior. Redeemer.
Yes.
Master.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
And we approach him reverently.
Yes.
But it's not just words. It's something that we are to carry in our heart toward him. How many of you know, let me kind of address some things. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. We won't read all those passages, all those scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You'll remember it. I'll just quote a few of the verses. Know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. You remember that? Men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, without natural force, and all these things. And he said it all come in the last days and deny the power, have a form of godliness, deny the power thereof. He's talking about the days we're living in. Well, we're living in some troubling times.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff going on, even in this nation. Things that are very against God, against his ways, against his will, against his people, against righteousness, against the what is right in the eyes of God, right? A lot of stuff going on, right?
Yes, sir.
And if you just kind of took a casual any believer would just take a casual observance of it, they'll say, the devil, the devil. But do you know, in this passage, the devil's not mentioned?
Well, yeah.
1 Timothy 1,
yeah.
2 Timothy 3, excuse me, verses 1 through 5. The devil's not mentioned. Now, I'm not denying that he exists, and I'm not denying that he's not behind it all. But listen to me. What is mentioned is in this passage, he's talking about men in the last days, really, if you examine the whole thing, just setting aside and disregarding everything that God said is right. Amen. Notice he even mentioned one thing there about parents. Notice what he said there. Disregard, it's disobedient to parents. Did God say anything about obedience to parents? Yeah. Children, obey your parents. Amen. This has a promise attached to it. Honor your mother and your father. Honor. Oh, there's that word. Honor your mother and your father. And there's a reward attached to honoring your mother and your father. It is long life. It'll be well with you and you'll have many days on the earth.
Yes.
How did that child get into that honoring? Really, if you examine a lot of these characteristics of people in our day, it is basically these troubling times is not because, now don't misunderstand me, the devil's behind a lot of this. But if men would align themselves with what God says is right and avoid what he said is wrong, then we would not be in these troubling times because the devil wouldn't have any access to the earth. Right? The troubling times we live in are due to people not living by God's standards, which are in his word.
Amen.
Not living according to, not honoring what he said is right and wrong. So, I'm going to preach it anyway because I maybe need some encouragement. Living honorably before God means living as he asks us to live. Somebody said, well, no, my salvation is not based on works. I'm not talking about your salvation today. Your salvation is not based on works. Amen. It's based on your faith in Jesus. However, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about having the honor of God on your life. Because those that honor me, what will happen?
He will honor.
Man will honor? Well, that'll happen too. But there's nothing. Man's honor is worth nothing compared to God's honor.
That's right.
Let everybody in the world have man's honor. Give me God's honor. Those that honor me, God said, I will honor. There is an honor that comes from God. And it makes all man's accolades, gratitude, whatever, it makes all that man thinks is thinks you're all of that important, it makes all of that cheap. Compared to God's honor on your life. Oh, I really need about 13 hours. But you can see this passage here in 2 Timothy 3 that the issue is people just getting away from God's will, God's word, God's standards. And so really the principles of honor are the underpinnings of any great person, any great leader, any great ministry, any great family, any great church, any great nation, any great society, anything. Honor is the underpinnings of it. Amen. We live in a world that they try to grab social media attention by how disrespectful they can be.
That's true. Yes, sir.
If they can be more disrespectful, they get more likes. Tell me I'm preaching the right thing. I don't care about likes on YouTube or whatever, Facebook. I care about God in heaven going, I honor him.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's what is important and ought to be important to any believer that's really wanting to know God and to walk in his blessings. And so, in our minds and in our hearts, we need to wash ourselves with the water of the word concerning honor. And walking in the flesh and the unrenewed mind will always cause us to descend into dishonor. I hear many Christians today talking about things like this. We don't have to, and then fill in the blank. And they're trying to say, in order to be saved, we don't have to fill in the blank. In order to go to heaven, we don't have to fill in the blank. And there's a lot, what they're saying, there is truth to it. Because our salvation is not based on like church attendance or something like that, right? Because that's one of the things, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. So like that. Well, to be an obedient one, you do. Now, I'm preaching to people in church, so don't think I'm getting on you. But to be a word Christian, you do. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Yeah, but we don't have to get saved. To be saved, absolutely right. But are you wanting to just get saved and live defeated, or are you wanting the honor of God on your life? See, don't just get the stripped-down version of Christianity. Right? Get the best God has for you. I've always been interested in the best God has for me. Praise the Lord. And so we need to wash ourselves in the water of the word concerning this. We need to renew our mind to what honor will do. There's a lot of things that you don't have to do religiously, but because you have honor for God, you will do it.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Amen. So good. And you will be honor bound to do it.
Yeah.
Right? There are things that are right and wrong, but there are things that you could do, never do your whole born days, and be saved, go to heaven. That God's word tells you to do. Never do it. Never even broach the subject. Never even do it. Like go to church, for example. But there is honor on God's house. The Bible says that in the book of Psalms. He honors his house. Well, if you want the honor of God, find God's honor distribution points and connect with them.
Amen.
Okay. Okay.
His honor is on his word. His honor is on what the Spirit of God tells us to do. His honor is on certain people that he puts in our lives. Amen. And those are places that if we interact with them appropriately, the honor of God comes on us. Oh, if I had time on that one. We're just kind of introducing a lot of things here this morning. And so so it's important that we not live just based on what the culture says is okay. Right? And so I've learned, for a long time, I didn't think that really this was an important, or this was a subject that I should teach on. Now, this might sound funny, but my mind's been renewed since this time. I used to think, that's not a subject for me to teach on because you can't teach honor. you can't put honor in somebody's heart, yes. But it's like faith. You can teach the importance of it. And it's a little like you can't make a horse go. You lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right?
Right.
But somebody said one time, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you sure can put salt in his oats.
Right?
Right? You can make him hungry for it. In this case, thirsty for it. Right? He puts salt in his oats, he gets thirsty, right? Well, no, you can't put honor in somebody's heart by teaching on it.
No.
But you can sure show them the benefits and make them thirsty for it.
Come on.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to show the benefits of this.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so, like I said, this is a dishonorable culture we live in. I mean, it's even crept into the home. It's crept into, it used to be, years ago, if somebody out in the world that's not saved, somebody met a minister, they would throw down their cigarette, right? They would just stop cussing, right? Not today. I've gotten on planes many times, and people find out I don't just like to tell them I'm a minister. Now, you might say, are you ashamed of the gospel? No, I'd rather them know I'm a believer than a preacher, because they change when they find out you're a preacher.
Say it.
If I just kind of tell them I'm a believer, you know, they won't act all religious.
Thank you.
Right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah.
I just want them to hear I'm a believer.
Yes.
But because they find out you're a preacher, they get off on all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
But it used to be they found out you were a preacher, and they'd be respectful. Not today. They just cuss right in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Why? It's not the person, me. It's the one I represent that they have a lot of trouble with. Right? Come on, somebody. Some people just get fussing mad and cuss right in your face. And it's because of a change in the standards of honor in our culture. Anybody understand a little bit about what I'm talking about? So Luke chapter number 16, verse number 15, Jesus said to them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. That which is highly esteemed, now that was one of the definitions of honor, right? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. There are things that people think is huge. This is important. This is. I got to change my whole day to make sure this happens, or I get to do this today.
Come on, talk about it.
And God looks at it and said, "That's not important to me at all." Right? And then there's things on the other side, things that God says is huge in your life. That this be in place. That this be properly valued, that this be something that you give yourself to, that you think about, that you so forth and so on, that you do regularly.
Yes.
God says it's huge. And people say, that's not important to me.
See,
the value system of the world and the value system of God are really diametrically opposed to one another. They're at enmity with one another.
Yes.
And we got to decide whether we're going to be popular with the world. Come on, somebody. Or popular in heaven.
Well,
you know what I mean by popular? I'm talking about honored.
Yeah.
Whether heaven honors us or the world goes rah, rah. A lot of times when the world's going rah, rah, remember Jesus said, be careful when all men speak well of you. Because he said they did that right before they killed the prophets.
Right?
Right? It's a little unusual this morning, but it's something we need to think about. Yeah, so pastors are really called to train people in the standards of honor according to God's word. This has to begin in the pulpits.
Yes.
I'll go over here and say that. To get things turned around, some things have to happen in the pulpits.
Yes. Come on.
Yes. Amen. There are things that the body of Christ is really casual about. That God says that's dishonor.
Yeah.
They call it casual.
Yeah.
God says it's dishonor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so pastors are to show people God's standards. And I know we haven't got into a lot of it yet, but I'm just kind of introducing this subject according to God's word because it's not being taught in the world out there.
Yeah.
right? Many parents don't even know it about how to teach their children about it. I'm not saying you per se. I don't know about you, but I'm just saying in general. I've met many Christians that their children just talk back to them. Or whenever they say, stop that, no, I don't want you doing that, they keep doing it, and there's no follow through.
Yep. Yeah.
They're teaching that child dishonor.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right? They'll do that then to the teachers, to the coach at school, and eventually to the policeman.
Yeah.
And to the judge,
yep,
as he sentences them.
Yep. Come on now.
Right?
Yep.
Somebody said, don't speak that over my child. It's not a matter of speaking it. It's a matter of training them to put the restraint on their fleshly desire to be disrespectful.
Seriously.
And verbalize disrespect
That's
toward
right.
authority.
Yeah. That's right.
You're training them in dishonor. And if they turn out to be dishonorable, they're really the parents' fault. That's a product of the parent training them. Somebody said, well, I tried to train them. Parenting, the word try and parenting don't belong in the same sentence. My mama didn't try to parent me. My mama parented me. And when she said no and I said, oh, well, I'm going to do it anyway, I found out I was trained in honor. And somebody said, that's old-fashioned. No, it's Bible. Amen, it's Bible. Children obey your parents, and it's the parents' responsibility to train them to do that. You know, I'm not talking about punishment without love, you know, because people hear that and they, well, he's just a big punishment guy. No, I'm not punishing. How many of you know there's a balance? Love mixed with discipline, but right on the other hand, there has to be both sides, right? Praise the Lord. We're spending a lot of time going around a lot of different, approaching different subjects, but, you know, Christian parents have a responsibility in this area of training honor. But they, in order to do that, they can't be full of the spirit of the world. Right? They have to train their children at home, and they have to be taught it themselves. Parents have to be taught it themselves because it's a big issue with God. I don't know if you've ever read over there in the Old Testament whenever God called Abraham. He said, I'm going to use Abraham, and you know, I don't remember the reference, maybe one of you know it right off the top of your head, but there's a place in there, I think it's in Deuteronomy, it says, I'm going to call Abraham, I'm going to use him, and how many of you know he's one of the big figures in the Old Testament, and he said, here's the reason, he said, because I know him, that he will train his children in what I tell them, what I tell him to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. In other words, there are things that God will share with you that he won't share with somebody else that it stops at their generation.
Yeah.
God's a multi-generational God.
Yes, he is.
To where what he says is so big and so huge and so important and such a big deal that we share it with our children. And it's not just for our generation, it's for the next generation. We've got a generation of people, I don't know why I'm on this today, it's just a little different. Everybody say it's just a little different, but it's all good.
Yeah.
We got a generation today that have the idea that, okay, the previous generation of leaders who God used so mightily, they're gone, so we take all their books and throw them away, and we're doing a new thing.
No.
You are dishonorable.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And you disqualified yourself from being used of God. That's strong, but it's right.
It's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I didn't know it was going to come out like this, so we're just not apologizing, though, for the word. Honor has to be taught. People don't know how to live honorably unless they're taught from the scriptures. And you're not going to get taught this down at the university. Not preaching against the university. Sometimes we need what the education gives us at the university. But you won't learn honor at the university. You won't learn it at the mall. You won't learn it at the movie theater. You won't listen to the music of the world and learn it. You'll learn dishonor from all those places, especially for what God says is worthy of honor. There's much to this. Praise God. Now, like I said, what is the definition of honor? Honor means you value something. It's a big deal to you. Right? And we're not talking about necessarily material things. We're talking about God, what he does, what he says, what he told us in his word, and his people, so forth and so on. but it means to value or to attribute worth to something. In other words, you lay great emphasis on it. I've had people say to me, why do you go to church all the time? And I say to them, why do you go to the ball field with your children all the time? And they'll say, well, that's just my, it's important to my children. I say, going to church to me is important to my spirit. It's what's a big deal to you. It's what's important to you. Some people's church attendance shows that it's not that important to them. Like I said, I'm preaching to people here, so I'm, right? Should we find another sermon in my Bible, maybe? Sitting under the Word, getting together with other believers, fellowshipping with them. Remember, the Bible talks about don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. That's important to God. Somebody said, I don't know why it's so important. Well, just know that God knows more than you and I, and he tells us it's important, and maybe you'll find out later if you do it, you'll find out how important it is.
Yes.
Right? I found out if you want to be wise, hang around wise people, find out the way they think.
Amen.
Even if I don't think the way they think is right, more important.
Amen.
Or maybe they put a higher priority on something that I do. But see, they're the ones that are succeeding, and I'm the one that's learning. So, okay, what do you have to say about this? Right? So, praise God. This is coming out a lot different than I planned, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Well, I can't come to this service during the week or that service during the week because my children have ball practice during that time. Okay, what's valued more importantly to you? When your children need healing and they're in the hospital, call the other kids who are playing ball and have them get them out of the hospital.
That's real good.
That's it, Pastor. Come on.
You say, this is just too religious for me today. Then you don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about honor.
Yes.
Honor. Honor. Praise the Lord. Honor means something's big deal to you. My time with the Word, with God and the Word, I'm a Christian first, right? But I'm a minister second, and I have to spend a lot of time in the Word. I say have to, not because I don't like doing it, but I love doing this. But yet, right on the other hand, I told the staff, don't contact me before 10 a.m. in the morning. I might get up at 4, I might get up at 6, whatever. I get up, but until 10, I'm not always praying that whole time or reading my Bible. But there's just a lot of time that I set that aside to where this is not going to get interrupted by anything.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yes.
Because I value this so much. It is my lifeline. This is more important. It comes before everything else. It is priority. There's a word that goes along with honor. Honor means this is priority to me.
Right?
So that's what honor is. We're defining what honor is. It means to attribute worth to. It means to value. It literally means, if you look it up, it means weighty. In other words, God, what he says, so forth and so on, is very weighty with us. It's not a light thing. It's not a casual thing. It's not something we just, like what he says in his word. We come and we hear the word at church or we listen to the word online or something like that, and we don't just listen to it as we would go to a concert and listen to a beautiful song and think, wasn't that a wonderful performance, and go away and forget all about it. No, this is so weighty with us. What God says to us in the Word is so weighty with us that we hold it fast. We even write it down. We don't let it slip. We go back and we meditate on it, and we think about it. Is my life aligned with that?
All right now. Thank you. Thank
Someone
you.
Said, I don't have to do that. No, you get to do that.
Yes.
You get to do that.
Yes.
You get to honor God in that way to where so that his honor will come on you.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, so honor means it's valuable and it's weighty. The word comes from the old time balance scales. Whenever they would before they had the kind of currency we have today, they would buy, they'd go to the market and they're buying all their groceries for a couple days or whatever, and they would put the groceries over here on this side of the balance scale, and then they would put something over here to equal the weight of that. Now, I don't know how they all did it because, 5 pounds of groceries, you're not going to give 5 pounds of gold for that. So, but there was some way that they had of weighing that with certain amounts of coins and so forth and so on. And like gold, for example, gold was not valued back then by, dollars, but it was valued by weight.
Yes.
Weight. And the more valuable this is over here, the more weight you would put on, whether it's silver or whatever it was, something over here, the more weight you would put over here, because this over here is more valuable, right? And so that's where we get the word value from, that old time balance scales, where this was this over here, I want it worse than I want this. This is, it's equal to what I put on over here. This is how much I'm willing to pay for this. Value. Right? And so there's people that say, I honor God, but they really won't give up 2 hours of extra sleep on Sunday morning.
Come on now. Yep, say it.
They have diminished the value of what they'll get at the church service down to the value of 2 extra hours of sleep.
That's good.
And in their mind, they think, I honor God. And God sees that and says, no more than your 2 hours of sleep.
Mm.
Well.
Man, I didn't think this was coming out like this morning. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, say it's weighty. It's a big deal. What you honor, you magnify. What you honor, you defend. You don't let anything get in the way of that. If you honor your time with God, your time in the Word, you defend that. You protect it. And you don't let anything keep you from doing that, right? If you honor your spouse, remember the Bible talks about spouses honoring one another, then you protect them. And you value your time with them. And there's times you say, hey, I can't do that right now. I haven't been spending much time with my wife. I've been too busy, so we're going to spend some time together, right? That's because you value them. And you put it first. You make sure and protect that. We're understanding more as we go, right?
Yes, sir.
And so honor means there's a shift in your attention. And when you honor God or I honor God, our attention is always on what He says, not on what we think.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can read, and I can read things in the Bible that's why I don't think that way about it. Honor will say, because how many of you know we want to walk together in agreement with God? How can two walk together except they be agreed? So to walk together in agreement with God means we say something or we read something in the Bible and God says, this is the way I think about this. And we look at that and we go, that's not the way I think about it.
Right. Wow.
Honor means we say, but I've just changed. Now this is the way I think about it.
Yeah.
And we see things that God said He hates. He hates strife, you know, things like that, things He hates. Not people, but things He hates. Strife, the Bible says He hates strife. He that sows discord among brethren. And we see that in the Bible and we go, yeah, but I just think some things ought to be said. Not if we honor God. We read that where he that sows discord among brethren. We go, God says, I hate that. And all of a sudden we say, me too. I hate that. I hate that. Where just 2 days before we were doing it.
Yeah, well.
Right?
Yeah.
That's honor for God.
Yeah.
I said, that's honor for God.
Yes.
We're learning.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So it's a big deal. When we honor God, what He says is important. It's weighty. Amen. And so honor assigns proper weight or importance. I know we've gone over this and over this. But it's an attitude of respect. Say it out loud, attitude. How many of your children have ever done something, but they had a wrong attitude?
Yeah.
And that wasn't okay. You said, take out the trash, and they're over there taking out. How many of you know it's not okay for them to do it with the wrong attitude?
It is not acceptable. Yeah.
Right? Amen. You come to Spirit of Faith Family Church, you're not just going to get high stuff up here where everybody leaves and say, what does that mean? No, you'll get some practical living stuff. Praise the Lord. And by the way, those that honor me, I will honor. Do you notice that? Those that honor me, I will honor. In other words, how you approach my things determines how I approach your things. If my things are of little regard to you, what my word says is of little regard to you, doing what I said in my word is of little regard to you, and you come praying, oh God, help me in this. Come on, somebody. It will not be highly regarded. I didn't say that. People, well, I don't know if I like that. I didn't say it. God said that. It's sowing and reaping. What you sow, you reap. You sow disregard towards God, disregard towards his dealings, and then get into trouble. Yes, God's merciful. Thank God he's merciful. Isn't he merciful? But he's mercy. But you and I don't want to live on mercy. Living on mercy is getting yourself in trouble over and over again and then needing bailouts. That's no way to live at all. If I were you, I'd recommend that you live by faith and honor and get the honor of God where you don't need those bailouts over and over and over again. My goodness, praise the Lord for the truth, right? So, there are things that I don't know that we've thought much about sometimes regarding these things. But you and I really decide if the honor of God is on us. This law, this in 1 Samuel 2:30, this is what I call the law of honor. Yeah. I don't mean law like law of Moses, but I mean law like the law of gravity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by the law of gravity? It's a principle it's a principle of nature. This law of honor is not a principle of nature, but the law of gravity is a law of nature. You throw something up, it comes down, right? If a young child does it, it comes down. An older person, it comes down. Yes. If somebody with a college education throws it up, it comes down. Yes. Somebody that doesn't have any education, throws it. It's a law. It works for everybody, same way all the time. And this is one of those laws. Honor is one of those laws in the Word of God. It's working for everybody right now. What we have in our life today is a result of what we have honored. Because honor attracts things into our life, good or bad. If we honor wrong relationships and carnal people and value their friendship over the people of God's friendship, then we will have carnal people in our life and the results of carnal relationships. But if we honor God, honor his people, and value their relationship, and, think of Moses, for example. You read in Moses, in Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 24, 25, and 26, I believe, it talks about him being, remember Moses' story? He was a Jewish boy, born a Jewish boy in a Jewish family, but he was living in a time whenever Pharaoh was killing all the boy babies, right? That spirit got into our nation. Come on, somebody.
Yeah,
but anyway, that nation was killing all the boy babies in order to keep Israel from multiplying too much. But so Moses' mother hid him, and remember Pharaoh's daughter found her,
right.
Found Moses, excuse me, and took him for her own son. He was raised as an Egyptian. He spoke like an Egyptian. He was trained like an Egyptian, trained by the Egyptians on all their gods. He talked like an Egyptian, walked like an Egyptian, smelled like an Egyptian. For all intents and purposes, he was an Egyptian. But he found out he was not an Egyptian, that he was a Hebrew boy. And Hebrews 11, 24, 25, 26 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for he had respect, that's honor, unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he said, I am not a Jew, I am not an Egyptian, I am a Jew, and I have a call of God on my life. And God has picked me and chose me to deliver God's people from Egyptian bondage. And I'm going to do God's will because I value his reward for that, his honor on my life, more than all these treasures of Egypt.
Yes.
He was in line to be Pharaoh himself. I didn't used to think that, but I found that out recently. He was actually in line to be Pharaoh.
Yeah.
All the privileges, all the wealth. You could just say, off with his head, and all your persecutors are gone. All of that. He gave it all up. Why? Why would you give something like that up? Everybody in the world dreams of stuff like that.
Come on.
Because he honored something else other than men's.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. He honored God. He honored the call of God. He honored the plan of God. He honored the word of God. And he honored what he was called to do for delivering Israel. And today, he is more known than all the pharaohs combined. The honor of God came on his life. And he was raised up to be used mightily by God. Hallelujah. So somebody said God decided that. Well, God had a plan, but Moses decided that because he decided to honor God. He valued that more than all. And so what do I say? I'm saying that he chose the fellowship with the persecuted people of his day. There's a lot of people that say, well, I won't get very far in life if I am identified with those who are persecuted. Do you want the honor of people or do you want the honor of God? Amen. Choose yourself. The law of honor. Tell your neighbor it's the law of honor. So this is the law of sowing and reaping. You can sow honor and reap honor. Just like you can sow finances and reap finances, right? We know that about finances. But this is saying there's a law of sowing and reaping in the area of honor. You can sow honor towards God, sow obedience towards God, sow faithfulness towards God. There's a verse over, and I don't have the reference in front of me. Jesus said in one place, it's John 16 or something like that. He said, He that does my Father's will and serves him, God will honor. Here's verses all through the Bible, 1 Samuel 2, other verses, that the honor of God is promised to those who do certain things. Another one is John 5:44. John 5:44, a wonderful verse. John 5:44. Anybody want to look that up? It's a beautiful, you ought to get it in your notes. I love this verse. It's really changed my thinking on a lot of things. I'll just read it to you. John 5:44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God? Look at that. Only. There is an honor that no man can give you or I. Comes from God only.
Only.
Amen. And listen, when God honors, there ain't nobody that can take you out. Come on, somebody. If man puts you in a place, man can remove you. But God puts you in a place. God raise you up. God use you. God reveal himself to you. God anoint you. God equip you. God, there's nobody that can take you out when God is the one that puts you there. Especially if you use your faith for the honor of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, this verse is just, 1 Samuel 2:30, this verse is just amazing, and we're going to wrap this up. We didn't get very far, like I thought I was not going to get very far, but this verse is really saying, you decide.
Yes, we do.
He's saying to all of us, you decide. You decide, do you want the honor of God?
Seriously.
God's not the one who initiated this honor in this verse. 1 Samuel 2:30, and these other ones, John 5:44, and all these other ones. He's not the one that initiates this honor.
Right.
He said, you honor me, I'll honor you. People say, well, I just don't have much of the honor of God. Well, you start that.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
You're saying he's a respecter of persons? No, any man can do this. So it's not God respecting one man over another. Any man can be honorable. That's our choice, right?
Yes,
do you know that as a parent, if you tell your children what the rules of the house are, bedtime at this time, you don't hit your sister, there's certain ways we don't talk in the house, you know, so you got rules, right?
Yes.
Nothing wrong with rules.
Yes.
Somebody said, we're not under the law. Well, don't get weird on that. Set some rules in your house.
Yes, sir.
Right? But as a parent, your child has the rules, and then they decide that they're not going to follow those rules. Well, if you're honorable, then you'll follow through with what you said. This is the consequences of that. Right? Well, I don't know why it's getting heavy in there. But somebody said, well, that's being mean to your child. No, your child decided that's the way you're going to handle them. Because you told them in advance. Right? If they're going to be difficult and bullheaded and they respond, in certain ways, you've already told them ahead of time, this is what will be the consequences. So when they do that, they chose your response. Right? They're the one that chose that. Mommy is mean. No, you chose this. You chose me responding to you this way because I told you ahead of time, this is the way I'm going to respond.
Yes, sir.
You chose this. See, children need to learn responsibility. They're responsible for their actions. Because out there in the world, right, people aren't going to give them participation trophies out in the world just because they participated. They're going to say, nope, not for you. Because you didn't reach the sales quota, so there's no bonus for you. Right? So in the home, teach them responsibility, and there's consequences, there's rewards. Right? Well, I just want my blessings anyway. I want to be able to go be with my friends anyway. Well, no, you chose to not be able to go with your friends because you picked to be mouthing to your sister here at the house. You chose that.
Yeah.
You made that choice.
You chose the way I'm responding to you.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's hard. No, that's training.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. That's training. Hallelujah. Sometimes they might not have asked you verbally, but they asked you with their attitude. Lord Jesus, I didn't expect this to come out this way. And that's what 1 Samuel 2:30 is saying. You disregard all my things, all my dealings, everything I'm trying to. How many of you know his instructions are only there to bless us?
That's right. It's our help.
But he said, you disregard all of that, then you picked not having certain things in your life from me. You chose that. But God, I want them. Okay, be honorable. Praise the Lord. I think maybe we've reached our ability to endure any further. Praise the Lord. Does it help us?
It does help.
See, in our culture, we got people that whatever happens, it's not my fault.
Come on now.
You know, it's your fault. If I hurt myself, if I tripped, it's your fault.
That's right. Come
No, you got big feet and you tripped. That's what happened. But I'm going to sue you. You know, it's you. It's always blame somebody else.
Yeah.
That's not the way I was raised.
Me neither.
If you tripped, then it's your fault. Right? Watch where you're walking. Watch. Well, no, it was their property, so I'm going to sue them. Yeah, and you're not going to make it very far in life.
No.
That's just not going to make it very far in life. And you're dishonorable. Praise the Lord. Hey, we'll stop right there. Tell your neighbor, I am so glad you came to church today. Yeah, we've got to not just kind of go along with all the cultural stuff that's out there, but look at what God actually says. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of meditating in it. We thank you, Father, that it is our help. We thank you that you're so willing to show forth your honor in our lives. Father, you're a good God, and you showed us how to get into it by regarding what you say, regarding your word, regarding your dealings in our life. We decide to say yes to the honor of God. We desire the honor of God on our lives. That is where he promotes, where he moves us forward. He brings us into the best that he has for us. Hallelujah, to live in the blessings of God. We receive that, but we understand the directions of how to get into it today. We receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we make the choice to follow your way of doing things. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. When your honor is manifested for others to see, we'll say the Lord has done it. It is his doing, and we'll give you the glory and the honor because it's only you that is worthy of it. In Jesus' mighty name, all God's faith people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. If you didn't like today, come back next Sunday. We'll see if it's a little lighter, maybe. Praise God. But I personally, in my life, I don't know about you, but in my life, this is the kind of preaching that that I go and I say, well, at least I understood what he said. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. We're going to receive communion before we go. It's something that, you know, Jesus said to do from whenever he was, the night before he was crucified. You remember he took the bread and the cup and he broke it and the cup and drank it with his disciples. And he said, this do as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Aren't you thankful for what his blood did for us and his broken body? So we're wanting to do that this morning, and we invite you. You might say, well, I'm not a member of this church. Should I receive communion with you? Anyone that's born again by the blood of Jesus is welcome to receive communion with us this morning. So I'm going to have the ushers come forward. And the ushers are going to, you may be seated actually again. We're going to receive communion all at the same time, meaning the ushers are going to come and they're going to serve the bread down the aisle and the drink and the juice down the aisle. And then if you would just hold it and we'll all take it together, if that'd be all right. Father, we take this bread today. We thank you for your son's body and blood that was shed. We thank you that it was applied to our lives for our redemption. Today, as we break this bread, we take it in remembrance that it was broken, that represents the body that was broken so that our bodies could be mended. If we need healing this morning, we take the healing that belongs to us. In Jesus' name, break and eat.
Father, we thank you for the precious blood that was shed for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, whereby we're forgiven.
Yes.
Whereby we're healed. Whereby we're prospered in every arena of our lives. And we honor the blood of Jesus today. And we say, Father, we take this as representation of the blood of Jesus, as an example, as a type. And we thank you. So just take and drink in remembrance of the blood of Christ. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. That blood represents the cleansing from our past, doesn't it? The enemy wants to hound us and say, but you did this, but you did that. And you can say no but the blood. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for the privilege of the covenant that we live under and we live in because of what Jesus did for us. We're grateful, Father, for the honor of being yours. We count it an honor to be yours. We thank you today for each one that came. We thank you, Father God, for your presence that carries them safely throughout their week this week. And Father God, we speak blessings on all they do, all they put their hand to. And we thank you for revealing yourself and showing them the answers to every question that arises this week, and that they might hear your voice and know what to do and continue to experience your glory and your blessing in all they put their hand to. And everyone that agreed with that and receives that said,
amen.
Amen.